woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning.
Hello and welcome to Base Action Jacks. I'm talking about Ricky on the board. S&P Futures. We're not doing much here this morning. S&P Futures, I was looking at the silver and gold markets here. S&P Futures are down a buck and a half. NASDAQ Futures down six. So, not much there. Do we have Professor Carl?
You do.
How are you, bud, on this very chilly day here in Chicago?
Well, you know... We went from really ridiculously warm for this time of year to aw, crap.
Yeah.
not that I'm surprised by that, by the way. So there you go. And it's interesting that several things have kind of blown up in the news lately. Some of which I've pointed out for a very long time, and seems to have a lot of people's knickers in a knot. You know, this whole Minnesota thing, everybody's first reaction is, oh, it's just all those Somalis, right?
It's never that, you know that.
Well, of course it's not. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and I pointed out to him that, it's someone I've known for quite a while, that when I was running my company in Chicago, I had the fire inspector, an official city employee, attempt to solicit a bribe. And it was a combination bribe and blackmail. So what occurred is, you have an office,
oh, yeah.
Right? Right. So, you know, every year they come by and they look to make sure that your fire extinguishers have the official inspection tags on them. You know, you may have, if you have one in your house, they don't have to be inspected, but in a commercial establishment, they do. And they have a tag on them, a certification tag on them. So you either have a service come in and do it, or, you know, or you take them to a fireplace and they, you know, they weigh them and make sure that that everything is in order. So if there's a fire, they will work. There are code requirements with regards to crash bars on your exit doors and things like this. So,
by the way, those are all pretty good rules, because we've had some big issues before.
They're really good rules. I mean, you know, if there's an actual fire, being able to get out is kind of important, right? And these laws came into place because sweatshop places over the long period of time didn't have any kind of reasonable standards. And, you know, then there's a fire and there's, you know, 50 dead people, right?
Well, remember, you don't remember, but was it the Chicago theater fire that caused all the doors to push out instead of in?
Yeah.
Everybody scrunched up against everybody and they all died?
Well, like I said, there've been a number of incidents, okay, both here and in other places, you know, outside the United States. I mean, these laws exist for a very good reason, right?
How many people do you think... Sorry to interrupt. How many people do you think when they see the doors always push out? I wonder why these things always push out.
The reason is because if it pulls in and there's 100 people behind you trying to get out, none of you are getting out.
Right.
So anyway, we had a little bit of a fight with the city when we first got our space, because one of the exits out of our suite into the stairwells that then go all the way down. was in the computer room. And, you know, we hadn't yet refit everything to be the computer room, but that's where it was. And the problem there is that there's a security issue with that, right? So, you know, obviously you don't want somebody just, you know, coming in from the other direction. So we had to figure out how to do this in such a way that complied with the codes, that if there's a fire alarm, that people can get out through that door without obstruction, without anything being in the way of it. And you know, there was a bit of back and forth with this, because you have to both comply with the law, but we also had a legitimate security potential problem in that you know, you don't want somebody coming in there and stealing your stuff. So anyway, but here's the problem I had. So this guy comes in, and you know, official fire department guy. He comes in, and you know, the people at the front desk say, you know, we say, this guy's here. I'm like, yeah, okay, let him go, you know, go do whatever. A few minutes later, he shows up in my office, and he says, well, you know, you don't have tags on your fire extinguishers. They're, you know, those are out of certification. And wink, wink, nod, nod. Maybe you know, by the way, have you made any kind of contribution to the fireman's fund? Well,
now the fireman's fund is probably a very good organization.
Well, but he picked the wrong guy to do this with, because I personally took the fire extinguishers every year to the fireplace and had them certified. Okay, I didn't have a service come in. I personally did it. So I knew that their tags were good and were on the units. I knew they were.
That's when you say, by the way, you're an asshole, but here's your contribution to these other people.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. No, what I said to him is, by the way, you were so interested in attempting to inspect these tags, you probably didn't notice the fact that there's a closed circuit TV camera pointed pretty much straight at that thing. And by the way, it goes to a time-lapse video recorder in my conference room. And I said, so would you mind going back and rechecking these? So he does, and I watch him on the monitor put the tags back on that he just took off.
God.
Then he comes back in. Oh, everything's in order, Mr. Danger. I said, uh-huh. I said, let me explain something to you. You try this again, and it's going to be on the 7 o'clock news.
Well, there you go.
So, but the thing, so, I mean, you know, this, don't get me wrong, though. I fully understand why these rules are there. All right, now, why is this relevant to this stuff that's going on right now? Very relevant.
Well,
so you've got 60, in some cases, we've now found, by the way, it's not just here, it's in Seattle, it's in Ohio, so people say, oh, it's just a blue state thing. No, it's not. These are licensed daycare facilities, which means they serve, not only do they serve children, not only are they commercial establishments, therefore not only do they have fire code inspections that have to be performed, they also serve food, which means you now have the same sort of, you know, anybody that serves food on a commercial basis, now you've got the health department guys in there too, all right, on an unannounced basis, all right, with their inspections. One of the reasons that a lot of tap rooms will let you bring in your own food, they don't serve it, because then the level of inspection is different and lower if you're just selling beer as opposed to having a kitchen. All right, so these guys all have business licenses, which they have to have because they're getting this money from the government. Where's the inspections? They're obviously not happening. Now, that means that this is not a group of people, a group of private citizens just ripping off the government, and by the way, ripping off you and I, because that's where the money's coming from. No. This is racketeering. It involves state agencies. It involves state employees who are deliberately either inspecting from their truck, never getting out of the truck, and signing off on the stuff, or not doing it at all, but handing out business licenses, which have to be renewed every year, without the prerequisite inspections. There's no other way it can happen, Chief.
Well, I mean, wherever you look, you're under the same stuff. The question is...
Well, guess what? You know, you and I sparred a few times over the years about FCPA. You remember that law, right?
Well, there's all kinds of laws, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, no. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. The law that made it a crime, a felony, for a U.S. entity to participate in a corrupt practice overseas in the procurement or...
Meanwhile, we're sending our son-in-law over to cut a deal with Russia as part of a peace
Stop the whataboutism.
Okay? Yeah, I know. I'm on that.
Stop the what about the other guy thing. All right? It's nonsense. You know it and I know it.
Well, you know...
Here's the thing.
It sort of
isn't. Well, wait a minute. Why does that law exist? That law exists because in certain cultures, there isn't even a word for fraud. All right? They not only don't recognize fraud, it's part of the common, everyday
That's right.
way that and everyone
people,
lives.
People will tell you that if... paying off the policeman in Mexico is the only way to go see the ruins.
And by the way, it's not just in Mexico. It's in the majority of the country.
And people would argue, I'm just saying the other side, people would argue that if I'm doing business in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Chief, I'm not, okay. That's not where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Where I'm going with this is that is the inculcation of the people who live in those nations. That's what they've grown up with. It's all
I think
know.
A lot of people here have grown up with that too lately.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, bring a crap ton of people with a concentration of this into a metropolitan area and dump them in the area, and you just turn that city into that.
Well, maybe some people
no,
want.
No, not maybe. If you don't make clear to everyone that comes here, we don't do that in the United States. If you get caught doing it, you're going to prison. And by the way, I think the world is.
I've never been there, but from what I hear, the world is very much like that in India. And yet, Audrey has three or four neighbors that are all from India, and they're Catholic, and these people would not, there wouldn't be a stray piece of paper on their lawn. They left there because they didn't want that.
Chief, Mexico is 95% Catholic.
I know a boatload of Mexican people here in Chicago. I don't know of anybody who does that.
Honestly. Well, I'm just saying, Mexico is Catholic, okay? 95%.
I'm just saying that.
Do you really believe that only 5% of the people in Mexico are either in the pocket of or involved with the drug trafficking and the drug gangs?
I think it's so far over their head they don't have any idea what to do about it. Sort of like here, the corruption we have here.
Well,
just there it's gang related, and here it's big business related and government related. It's the same thing.
Let's put this in terms that someone can, that the ordinary person that's listening to the show right now.
Your buddies at Meta just bought another firm today, 2 days after Nvidia bought a firm. Hal's going to tell us in an hour about how this is all improper. Tell me.
No, I'm going to tell you that Make Gibbets Great Again is the only way this is going to stop, because you have. Look, I have a personal example of this. When I lived in Florida, I had a dock put in, because there wasn't one in the house that I bought, because it was on the water. And of course, to do this, you need multiple permits, right? As it turns out, in order to put a dock in Florida, you need to have a ACOE, Corps of Engineers, which is a federal thing. You need a permit for that, because you are on a navigable waterway, okay? So you need a permit from those guys. You need a permit from the state, from the Department of Environmental Protection, FLDEP. Same reason, because you're on a navigable waterway, all right? And then you need the normal county process. And oh, by the way, for all of these, you need engineered drawings with a PE stamp on them in order to get this. So you can't just, go to them with a sketch. You have to have engineered drawings in the reason's actually fairly valid. You are, for each foot of frontage that you have, you're allowed to cover 10 square feet of water with whatever the surface material of your dock is. Okay. So if you have 100 feet of frontage on the waterway, you're allowed 1,000 square feet of coverage in total, and your engineering drawings must show, you know, what that coverage is. Okay, and then it has to be built to that and inspected. All right, well, I wanted a boat lift out there and one for the jet ski. So, of course, that means I need power. And since this entire thing is under permitting, even though I know how to do this stuff and I know how to run a trencher and all this, all right, I'm going to pay licensed electrical contractor to come out here and do this work. I mean, I could have just pulled the permit myself, but I didn't. I paid the guy. He comes out. He does the work. The whole job's done. It gets the final sign-offs. And including from the county inspectors, the electrical guy comes out and, you know, bottom of the permit has his signature on it. Job's closed. Permit's closed. Okay, fine. A couple months later, I decided I'm going to put a whole house surge suppressor in. And I did when I bought the place, I didn't have panel board space for it outside. Now I do because there's a sub panel. So I go out, I turn the power off, I go out there and I start doing this. And it's wired wrong at the sub panel. Okay? So
it just as easy to do it right.
Well, actually, I know why it was wired wrong. There's no neutral bar in the sub panel. He's bonded neutral and ground together, which is extremely dangerous and illegal in anything except the primary.
Even I know you got to have a neutral bar.
Well, he didn't. And probably because he didn't have one in the truck.
What is your ground in Florida? Just out of curiosity. Nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about, but what is your ground?
Well, you mean where does it go to?
Yeah.
Well, stakes.
Oh, you guys have stakes? You don't go to the cold water system?
No. Well, because the internal water system is frequently PEX.
Okay.
Is here, too. All right. So, there's a stake out at the meter, all right? But, you know, and at the primary disconnect.
What we're talking about here, for those that don't know what the hell we're talking about, in Chicago, you ground to the cold water supply. And
well, that's because the pipe's metal.
Yeah. I mean, if you build a new house, you have a stake as well.
Well, you have to because a lot of the internal wiring and the street feed now are plastic.
Yeah.
Which is a superior thing, by the way, because metal has this way of corroding over time.
You know what a lot of them here now are concrete.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of, and then the other thing, too, is that a lot of the meters are plastic, so you have to have a strap across them because otherwise, there's no conductivity. So anyway, I called the county, and I asked for the guy by name whose signature is on the permit, the electrical inspector. And it takes a while for me to get him on the phone because, you know, they're out doing their thing. Okay, so I get the guy on the phone, and I'm like, hey, dude, by the way, you never actually inspected this job, did you? Oh, yeah. I said, no, you didn't.
He's worked with the contractor before. A contractor does a good job.
His excuse is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I said, by the way, I'm the guy that would have gotten turned into a hot dog if there'd been a fault in this at some point down the road, because I'm the guy who's going to be out there in wet feet turning the breakers on. Okay? And that's brackish water. So you're nice and highly conductive, too, to go along with it. You know? You're the one that becomes a little sparky. I'll have this guy. I said, no. I said, number one, he's not coming back on my property. Secondly, neither are you, unless you would like to be fed to a shark.
Well, yeah.
So, but the thing is that this, like I said, this kind of corruption, you know, goes on everywhere, right? And it's
somehow or another, it's become endemic. And I don't know where this all started, but this is... I've been around a while. I remember what it was like when I was young, and there were people that kind of ignored some laws, but there was somewhat of a, I don't know, it seemed to me that most people had a line. The line was if the alderman did something for you, got your uncle a job, first of all, your uncle's supposed to show up, right? So it was a job. It wasn't a terrific job. And you went out and maybe you did a poll thing for him, or you were a precinct captain or somebody in the garbage can, you got one for him. You know, it was a little bit of a quid pro quo, but it was such a lower level, and whatever it was, somebody always did something for the other person. It was like, and now, right. I talked to Kevin this weekend, and we were talking about you, by the way,
And we're
we were talking about some, you know, what's going on with the, you know, with, you know, and Hal's always talking about the antitrust issues and blah blah blah. And I agree with all that. And Kevin and I started this. Matter of fact, Kevin and I agreeing on something. Kevin, you know, it's reached the point where I don't know if it's a whole generation that didn't have a nun or didn't have a mother that ever said no, but I mean, the person you're talking about to change something, the person has gone through every red light he felt like for the last 5 years. If he rides a bike, he hasn't seen a stop sign in forever. It's up and down the chain. Nobody pays attention to anybody. And if anything, if the teacher calls home and said, your kid's an idiot, guess what? The teacher's wrong, the kid's fine. I mean, we've got a thing going on here that it's up and down. I mean, I don't see how on earth somebody is going to all of a sudden... You know, I mean, for having the medical establishment that's paid everybody off for 30 years, all of a sudden somebody to rear up with his head like Solomon or something and say, we're going to stop all this crap like you're talking about, or how anybody would ever even begin to think that NVIDIA shouldn't be able to buy another firm for $20 billion if the place is big enough. That is so far off people's radar. The only people talk about it are us.
Well, I'll tell you
what. Am I wrong? I mean, it's like... expecting the city council of Chicago to say, guess what, we used to be 3 million people, now we're 2.5, we only need 45 wards instead of 50, five of us are out of a job. That would be, I don't know where that pearl would come out of. I mean,
let me put this in terms that everybody that's listening to the show can understand, because it just sounds like an abstract thing to start with.
Okay? Yeah, except it's not. I mean, nobody pays attention to anything.
Well, it isn't. But let me put it in terms everybody can understand, all right? Because, you know, one of the things you get from people when you talk about stuff like this is, well, yeah, okay, that's going on, but, you know, quote-unquote, so what, right? I mean, this guy's scamming, but, you know, but who cares? I'll tell you what I suspect, all right? What is GDP nowadays? Is you know, $30 trillion or something like that?
Oh, who are you going to listen to? It was up 4.3% if you listen to the Orange Man.
Well, assuming that, assuming that that's, you know, that's real. I mean, let's just say, I mean, the current estimate for this year, which is almost over. I mean, we won't get the, you know, the final one until, you know, when the next one comes out. But yeah, you know, currently it's about $30 trillion. All right, I mean, you know, 24 was, you know, like 29.2 or something like this. So we're currently running approximately $2 trillion a year deficit, which, by the way, is the reason for all inflation. Okay?
Well, okay, you and I disagree on this, but go ahead.
Well, okay, you can disagree all you want. The numbers back into the actual realized...
You say that the deficit is causing the inflation. I say that if the Fed didn't give them the $2 trillion off the printing machine... it wouldn't cause inflation. It would cause a big problem, which is how it's designed to cause. But we don't let it cause that problem, do we?
Well, but the reality is that the Fed is constrained in terms of what they can buy and sell and what they can work with. If Treasury does not issue the $2 trillion of excess debt, they have nothing to manipulate. So you have to go back to, if I take away, you know, if you're an arsonist and you burn houses by using a handheld can of gasoline, and I stop selling gasoline, you're going to have to find something else to light.
To be fair,
I'm saying you got to find something else to light.
Okay,
the fire
but to be
with,
fair,
okay?
if the Fed had some stones, and I don't know who this person would be, and say, you want to run a $2 trillion deficit, knock yourself out, borrow it, buddy. Interest rates would be 15%, and they'd have to stop borrowing. But he's saying,
would stop immediately.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. But again,
I know we're being a little too technical here, but that's okay.
Well, we go back and forth on this thing, like, you know, the same thing.
Well, it ends up in the same place. You're right.
It ends up. You're right. It does. Okay. So here's the thing: $30 trillion and $2 trillion. Right. I mean, that's those are the numbers. That's by the way, 6.7%. Gee, doesn't that look an awful lot like realized actual inflation rates, right? I mean,
like them.
This is why I have long argued that this is what, I mean, you know, look, all I got, your correlation is not causation, but boy, does it make
you get the same number if you had a real CPI, right?
I, duh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, here's the thing, though. this kind of scam, not just in daycares, not just in Somalis. I mean, you know, look, you got the same crap going on now. People have dug into this a little bit. You find the same thing in Ohio. By the way, Ohio has a GOP governor. Hello. At a GOP house, and, you know, okay. So this is not a exclusively Democrat problem by any stretch of the imagination. When I lived in Florida and had this crap go on, that would, you know, it was a quote-unquote red state, okay? The same thing, one of the reasons I left Florida was that DeSantis comes in.
Kyle, read a few Greek tragedies, which I've
Well,
Greek,
I'm just saying, Michael
people haven't changed in 4,000 years. Have
well,
they?
I get that, but Michael shows up, these houses that have been built after the code changes, their roof is in the middle of the street. It is very obvious that was fraud because the mitigations were never put in. They collected it. Not one single person was arrested and thrown in jail for doing it. And by the way, all of us got hosed with the higher insurance rates because the insurance company can't screw the homeowner because they were not aware of it. All right. So, but the people who were aware of it and did it and stole the money, nobody gets prosecuted.
Well,
now here's the thing, and this is how it ties back to ordinary people, because people say, well, you know,
it okay, always ties back to ordinary people.
No, let me explain this. Over the last 20 years, all of the inflation in your hamburger, in your car insurance, in your homeowner's insurance, everything else in the cost of living, electricity, everything, all of it would not have happened but for this. Because the amount of this within our economy today wildly exceeds, and I'm willing to put this marker on the table and I'll stand behind it.
Inflation is always and every time a monetary phenomenon.
Yeah, and guess what? More than 8% of GDP, I'm willing to bet, which is what that, you know, 6.7 is the number, right? I'm willing to bet that the deficit is entirely stolen, every penny of it, which means that all the inflation is caused by this theft and has been for the last 20 years.
I think you could certainly make that connection. Hey, until Joel comes on, what is this this going on in the precious metals and silver telling you the last few days?
Oh, you know, the
yesterday, Sunday night, silver was up $5. It traded over 80. Yesterday, right. I come in, it's down $5. It's like a $9 move, and then all of a sudden, it's back up.
Yeah, you know why it collapsed? Because, well, okay, it's a speculative mania, and the proof of it is this: what happened in the middle of the night. Sunday, all these people running, oh, a bank failed, they had a margin call. No, what happened was the margins got bumped up on futures contracts because the price has gone up so much in the metals. And by the way, that happens all the time, right? It's the margin rates get changed per contract.
And a margin in the futures is not on a percentage basis. It's a number. So if silver's $30, the margin might be 10,000 in a contract. I should know that.
Well, they changed it to 25.
Yeah. Well, then if it doubles, they can double, and all of a sudden you got an issue.
Well, especially if you're not a miner, you know. I mean, if you're a miner. And if you actually own a mine, God, I would love to own a silver mine right now. When this was going on, I would have shorted the next 5 years worth of production into that. Okay.
Well, you might have done it at 40 too.
Well, but the thing is this: I could deliver into the contract. All right. So I mean, as long as I know that the silver is around, I can do it.
Nobody wants that, but yes, yes, you
well,
could.
Well, but I'm just saying the whole purpose of those markets in the first place. Same thing with the agricultural commodities. Is to give people some certainty as to what they're going to get for the product that they finish off.
And what gives you the certainty is you can deliver.
That's right. I can deliver it.
As hard as it is to do that, by the way.
Well, I'm not saying it's easy. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have shorted 100% of my expected production, but I certainly would have shorted like 75, right? So.
Well, you could have just bought some puts if you'd have come to PTI.
Well, if I got the stuff in the ground and I know I can dig it out, then, you know, I'm going to.
Yeah, but why would you want
to? If I can dig it out and get it to you for $30 an ounce, and all of a sudden it's trading 80, you can bet I'm going to short into that, right? I mean, you got to be out of your.
I would hope that you would get a better broker than who you're using, because I'd much rather. You know, my brother Dan, now the president of PTI Securities, and has been for a long time, used to trade on the Board of Trade. Actually, played this trade on the CBOE floor as well. but he traded in corn options for a while.
Yeah.
And Dan being Dan, of course, he has a little bit of Carl in him. He has to know everything there is to know about corn, right?
Right.
And so he's got the different months and the different this and everything. I mean, he knows all this crap. So he also, since we were teaching people at the time, there were some government programs, and one of them, there was a, what do you call it when there's a program, they're going to try it for a while? I don't know, there's a name for it. That whenever they have a letter of a program. So they have this thing called crop insurance. So for crop, if the
right.
thing goes down so low that they'll buy it from you more, right, at the government
right.
level. So the state of Indiana, I think, was the place. We still have people, clients here from years ago that raise popcorn corn and hedge yeah. through us. You know, popcorn corn is a regular corn, by the way.
It's different. Yeah,
it's different. So anyway, so Indiana comes out with this plan, and they're just going to help people. I don't think gave them the dough or whatever. Dan knows more about this than me, but they just told people to buy the puts. So in other words, if your corn's, you know, $3 a bushel and you need $3, they just bought the $3 puts. Or if the corn ran up to 10, you got the whole upside.
Right, right.
So it was one of the most successful programs they ever did over like three
yeah,
or four
I'm
years.
Just saying,
you know what? They bleep canned the program. We don't want to do this. We're going back to the other program.
That's the reason we have those kinds of markets in the first place. It's why they were put into place.
But I mean, as soon as it was successful, all the people with the crop insurance and that whole group of people, they said, no, you can't do this. It's too simple. They went back to the other stuff where all these guys got back involved. It's another cow story I just told you, by the way.
But this is the reason. You know, if you want a reason to be enraged enough to actually get off your beer swilling thing this New Year's and do something about this, whatever has to be done to stop it, here's the reason. The entire reason that affordability is in the tank for everybody is here.
Oh, yeah.
And if you stopped it, it would all come back out.
Well, but well, you name me anywhere, anybody either over the age of 30 who looks like they might be a leading politician 25 years from now, anybody in this current government, any place, anywhere, who has any idea what you're talking about or cares.
You know what? I am very close to saying I'm going to vote for the most communist person for the rest of my natural life. Why? I'm not going to light it on fire. I'm not going to go out and play revolutionary. But what I am going to do is, once somebody else does, I'm going to pour gas on it.
Well, there's an article here this morning.
Person,
look at how this
here
is.
We go.
But it happens every little spot here. I mean, it astounds me. And one of the reasons.
By the way, Joel's up. So
all right, Joel, bear with me for a second. Here's this guy. There's Ro Khanna. Who the hell is he? He's some politician out in California, right?
I heard this one, yeah.
Okay, so he says he faces Silicon Valley backlash after embracing a wealth tax.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm not at all pushing for a wealth tax. I think people would know that. Yet, okay, ask yourself the question. Self, where is all the money, where's the wealth in this country coming from? It's not coming from people like you and me making $500 a day last year, making $600 a day this year. That means we're going to pay more taxes along the way. That's not where the growth is coming from. That's not happening to anybody. Well, everybody's getting a little bit of a raise, probably.
Well, yeah.
But the wealth, the enormous wealth, is people buying crap and having a thing worth, you know, $8 million that they bought 30 years ago and it was worth $800,000. Well, that's if you're gonna find a place where people could afford a tax. Again, I'm not for it. That's the place you have to look. Duh. You're gonna find some guy who's making whatever an hour, somehow or another bought a bunch of Apple stock 10 years ago, and now he's got the plan. And when he croaks, he's gonna give it to his kid. Nobody pays the taxes on it anywhere. Okay, well, that's fine. Except we're broke. I'm just saying, where exactly do you get the money other than where the money is? I mean,
well, I don't have a problem with the general sense that innovation and hard work leads to prosperity.
I mean, I do not at all either, boy.
That's the
I think we do all day for people.
I'm just saying that's the premise of America, right? I've certainly got no problem with that. I do have a problem with all the inflation in the last 20 years and all the cost of living increases
right.
have come from people stealing it.
Exactly right. Well, we're talking the same subject coming from different. How about if I go to Joel and see if Kenny calls in? If not, we'll hear your dulcet tones again, and other than that, we'll talk to you on Friday.
You got it.
All right. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if I can hop into that conversation with any valuable input, but good morning, Chief.
Morning.
How you doing in that chilly Chicago weather?
We dropped, 45 degrees in 6 hours the other day? That's cool.
Jeez, that's a fast market.
Yes. Speaking of which, are you long silver?
I've been long and short silver in the past, but currently no position. How about some volatility there? Huh?
Well, it's, what's all of a sudden going on here? I guess there's somebody was hoarding something or whatever, and then the Chinese claim that they found another big gold strike. The news is flying back and forth, and yet I don't, you know, copper is moving up, but nowhere near the same pace. Gold is moving up, nowhere near the same pace. Platinum, on the other hand, which we never traded platinum here, but we don't have any clients do that. But that's been rushing up, sort of like silver, right?
I just think historically, silver has been an underperformer, right, for the longest time, and all the people with their gold silver ratio saying, you know, it needs to correlate. So it's just back, and do you need a reason for a lot of the moves that we've had in the stock market and things? So just put a bit of Bitcoin.
We've had people involved in silver clients and for years now, and I checked, I don't know which year it was, 23 or 24. Silver started the year at 28 and ended the year at 29. You know, so we're talking years of stuck at one spot. And the industrial demand for silver, for those that don't remember, silver is what you needed to do pictures, right? You needed was silver nitrate. That was the industrial demand for silver, right? Was in the photographic industry. And now they don't need it there because everything's digital.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you want to go back to, you know, old classic economic theory, which who the hell wants to do that?
Well, we could do that. Maybe we'd stop our inflation problem. But
it's, you know, potential signs of inflation. I mean, you know, it's been a hedge against inflation, but we don't have any. Inflation's coming down. It's not at the Fed target, but you could use that as another reason for it, but just also, you know, with that run up that it had yesterday, you know, you got your momentum traders in there, you have prediction market, you know, you got the whole gambit in there. So why not throw silver in the mix?
Well, because we've been chasing some calls in there for about $10. You know, yesterday we managed to corral that back, but we've had probably our best quarter ever for people in the last quarter because we got people in silver and gold. These are people who we have a lot in T-bills too. I wish all that was in silver and gold, but you figure out the right amount, you know, for the individual person, and you always wish something like that happens, you get more. But I've never been a fan of Bitcoin, but somehow or another the bloom has come off that just a hair, and I don't know why. I mean, it's not participating in this at all.
No, it's, it's not had a good year. I just think that, I think you got more and more market participants in it, right? You got the public in with the ETFs, right? And I think, to me, you know, when you get, you know, more participants in that, I mean, originally, you know, the people that, you know, a lot of the big participants were looking at the arbitrage, right? Isn't a lot of money made in arbitrage in this market? It's finding inefficiencies in the market. Well, I think there's just right now, you know, between, you know, the ETFs and, you know, the actual spot Bitcoin and the Bitcoin futures, with the lack of volatility here, you know, the spreads have just tightened up. And until, you know, you get a big move, I mean, it just, the arbs are, you know, they're keeping it tight. They're keeping in a tight line. There's no catalyst right now, right?
Well, there's also, I think if you, a lot of, you know, some of the, you're hearing, I don't know if you heard, I'm stumbling here, but.
That's okay.
Did you hear chairman of General Mills? Well, they're by you. Where are they? They're not. No, Kellogg's in Battle Creek. Where's General Mills? They're in Michigan somewhere, aren't they?
You're taking a Battle Creek.
That's Kellogg's.
Michigan. Yeah, that's Kellogg's.
General Mills, I thought they were in Michigan too somewhere, but maybe they're not.
No. Are you thinking of the Jiffy Baking Company?
No, I'm talking about Cheerios guys, General Mills.
Nope. General Mills is not a Michigan.
Okay. Well, anyway, the chairman was on the other day, and they said, where's the consumer? Yeah, the guy should be on Stocks and Jacks. The guy goes, well, you know, 80-85% of the population is hurting, so we've lowered prices everywhere across the board we could to attract those people. He goes, the other 15% got nothing but money. I'm sitting there going, boy, this guy sounds like you and me. I mean, that can't be a popular thing to hear from his politician hearing that, but it's so obvious, it's scary, right?
There's definitely been there's that disparity that's just getting wider and wider. And it's probably going to continue for, you certainly don't have any kind of policies or anything that is looking to narrow that.
Well, you have right now, I normally would given the fact that we've had such a nice run in this GDX and the silver and the GLD, I would say this has gone way beyond anywhere that I ever thought it was going to run. I better get my people the hell out of here and somewhere else. You know, my brother and I had this conversation yesterday because we're entering the new year and you have these conversations. And I go, Dan, the administration is telling you that the expansion of the money supply that we've seen that is way higher than it should have been really for the last 25 years and certainly for the last several years is going to only get worse. They're going to put some clown in the chairman's spot who's going to do whatever Trump wants him to do, which is lower interest rates and pour money into the system. And I don't know if it's his German ancestry or what it is, but he's acting like he's in charge of the Weimar Republic. Well, okay, if these guys are going to start having an 8-9% money supply growth or continue that, as crazy as silver is here, it's $75, it's going to be 100. Yet I don't... That's crazy to me. Every instinct in my trading career says, wait a minute, you bought this at 30, it's at 65, get the hell out. And yet I'm sitting there going,
what? I mean, we're gonna inflate our way out of this bubble. But Chief, I got to hop. I wish I had more for you. Sleepy markets here hanging up near the highs. So Fed minutes coming out tomorrow. I don't have much for you. So
how come you're not extolling the values of your new coach?
Kyle, well, I'll just leave you with our new motto. From sinners to winners.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, Chief. Gotta hop. Go blue.
Do we have Kenny?
No Kenny yet, Chief, but we still have Carl.
We still have Carl? How come Carl didn't get the job at Michigan?
Well, I guess I didn't bribe the appropriate persons.
When are we... I worry. I think it worries me about all this, Carl. As I see Chicago, I think with the Alderman little revolution this week. One of my friends, he's involved in the politics here a little bit. He's convinced that we finally hit some rock bottom. Now some aldermen that maybe know something are going to try and take charge, and we're going to get a new mayor in a year and a half. And
you might, because I've been following that to some extent.
But there was a well. You were on the show when I was talking about this. Who? One, I think he's still alive. One of the Nixon daughters married David Eisenhower, and the other one married this other guy. Well, the other guy. How's that for the South Side talk? Is in some think tank, and the question was posed to him. This has got to be 5 years ago. All this stuff's going on in government. You know, the deficit. It's only gotten worse, as you pointed out earlier.
Right.
Everything is the fighting back and forth. Nobody can agree on anything to the point where everybody's stealing on both sides, and to the point where they nobody can either stop it or do anything differently. And his response was, "We haven't hit rock bottom yet, and when we do, people are going to say, my problem with hitting rock bottom is sometimes if it's down so low, I don't know that you come back up."
Well, Chief, that's the Churchill, statement that that America can be counted on to do the right thing after it's tried everything else.
Yeah. Well, it's but it also you have to have the ability to do that. I don't know that if all of a sudden our deficit is, 30% of GDP not 30%, if all of a sudden our we're already talking about interest rates. I mean, right now I don't know if these guys inflate things and all of a sudden this 10-year rate is 8%. And now they're talking about, $1.9 trillion a year just in interest. I don't know how you come back from that other than to bankrupt yourself.
Well, it's that's the challenge, right? Is that and one of the things that I have pointed out consistently over the years is that the biggest blind spot, mathematics. Mathematics and physics are the two exact sciences. Okay, everything else. Chemistry is a subset of physics. They teach it the wrong order. In the wrong order, they teach you chemistry in school first, which is BS. You ought to learn physics first. It is what it is. The thing is that those two things are exact things. But if you want something that is absolutely 99% of the population's blind spot, where they do not understand it, and in explaining it to them it goes over their head, or trying to explain it to them, it's exponents. And how they always behave, always, without exception. And the reason that inflation is so popular with politicians is that when you start doing it, the curves between your GDP produced by it, which is false because you're not using an SI unit, you're denominating it in the dollars, okay, or whatever the currency is. The difference between those two curves, that and the accumulated debt and the interest on the debt, produces a belly. So as a result, it looks like you're getting a free lunch.
Without a doubt. It's like your first beer. It's so good.
The first beer is great. The 50th one, not so much.
Right. Kenny
just popped in. So, yeah, I'll let you go, and we'll be at you on Friday.
Okay, bud. Take care. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Yep. Kenny, how are you, buddy? Happy New Year to you as well.
How are you? Happy New Year to you and everyone else.
How's doing all right. I understand that you were the big seller of silver at 80. You bought it back at 71, and now you're long it again.
No, but I thought it was crazy yesterday, right? You see the sell-off. I was on Fox yesterday morning. They said to me, is this the start of this product sell-off? I go, no. I go, I think it's a little bit of profit-taking. Look what's happened to the precious metals all year, but really look what's happened to them over the last couple of months. They've absolutely rocketed higher. Silver just rocketing higher. So while we saw that 7% pullback yesterday, it's up 5.25% this morning.
Yep.
As it's just kind of churned. Look, I don't think that story's over, the precious metal story. I don't think it's over yet. I think the demand is going to remain into the new year. There's all the central bank buying. There's all this move into ETFs. People are getting a little bit more concerned. They're making precious metals a bigger part of their portfolios because they're concerned about where we're going. And it's kind of a debasement trade, right, that they're not really sure. So you go to the ultimate safety trade, which is gold or precious metals, so silver now as well. Because silver's cheaper, right? It trades at $80 versus $4,500.
You imagine if you actually had an ounce of gold walking in, and one of these days, I don't know. What is the spread like in this stuff? If you walk in with like your mother's sterling silver or something, what do you get an ounce?
That's interesting because I don't know. I think gold, if you walk in and try to sell gold, I think that is closer to where the price is trading. I don't know if they do the same thing in silver. I don't know if there's a big, if there's a big discount if you bring in silver to try to sell it.
Well, my cousin was telling me he still has a few Krugerrands. Now, they're supposed to be an ounce of gold. If you walk in, are they going to give you $4,500?
Well, they should, because look, my wife's got a couple of Krugerrands as well. I bought those back, 35 years ago. We're trading about $350.
Yeah.
It's an ounce of gold. It's an ounce of gold. I mean, you'd have to check and see what Krugerrands are going for. But yeah, they should be somewhere around $4,500, I would imagine.
Because I know the stuff that if you want to, actually, Kenny did some work with some people who were, I do different stuff for a lot of individual stuff for people. Well, that's a plus. It can be a minus, but it also gets you some interesting characters you talk to over time. And I, all of a sudden, these guys find me out of nowhere. I hear you're the expert on futures and gold, and I go, well, we've got how many ounces over in Dubai, and we're bringing them into the U.S., and how are we going to do that? And I go, okay, now wait a minute. I got to find myself I know a lot of people. I got to find us a nice clearing firm. I got to find out where you can actually deposit it, where it can be put into the system, you know, because it has to be, you know, 99.9% pure. It has to be the depository's where. There's one in New York and there's one in London. It's not, you can't just have it in your garage. I mean there's a lot that goes into this. The big one's in Manhattan, right? I said, you know, you've got to get it to, maybe J.P. Morgan has a spot, somebody does. You can't just be in Dubai unless some bank over there is going to give you. Otherwise, we can't sell covered rights on it because it's not covered. You know, if you don't, because you can actually get a thing from a bank that says this person has, you know, 400 ounces of gold. You can go out and sell however many. If you got 400, you can sell four calls, right? Or 100, it's 100 ounces. So, yeah. But I said, this is a really big deal. The guys like me say, oh, it's that complicated? Oh, yeah. Nobody's going to let you sell a covered call if the thing's not covered. I mean, you know, the guys are, man, stuff is complicated, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because as you were talking, I looked up the Krugerrang question. You know, and I asked ChatGPT, what's a Krugerrang coin worth? It's telling me that the coin itself is actually worth a little bit of a premium to the spot price of gold, and I'm trying to understand why.
I can't understand that.
But it says that if gold is trading at $4,550, then the Krugerrang would typically trade around $4,800, so $300 more than where the spot price says.
That would be a surprise.
Yeah, it would be a surprise. Maybe I should go and try to sell one.
Well, yeah.
I won't actually sell it. I'll just walk in and say, okay, here's this Krugerrang coin. What are you going to give me for it? I'd like to see what they... I would think it would be a discount, not a premium.
I would think it would be, too, because I know getting gold into the system, if somebody gave you a gold bar and you want to deliver it, well, you know, they got to rent it. You know, they have to melt it down and everything.
Yeah, it says that the coin is 1 troy ounce. Its value in the market tracks the gold spot price closely, but the coin itself doesn't have a fixed face value, so there's a little bit of room to negotiate. I would argue, like you, that would be a discount, not a premium.
Well, you know, everybody thinks that all this stuff is sort of easy. You know, I was talking about my brother, and he was trading corn options for a while. Well, if you deliver corn, when you say 5,000 bushels, why is it 5,000 bushels? Well, duh, that's a railroad car full, right?
Yeah.
So when the railroad car shows up for delivery, they inspect it. It's not just, they don't just, you got to put, when you put the big hoses down, the poles down all four corners and in the middle, right? And then you inspect the corn and you grade it. And then you don't, just because it's supposed to be 5 hours a bushel, you might not get 5 hours if a couple of bugs are walking across the thing. I mean, right. you might get 480, you might get 470. This stuff is so complicated. And then if you bring the corn in and you take delivery out of one of these warehouses, Kenny, you can roll it around the block. If you bring it back, they're going to inspect it again, bringing it back in. Right? They can't just, oh, you just took it for a drive and brought it back. We don't have to inspect it. That's not going to work. Anyway, I don't know how we got off on this subject, but some of the stuff is kind of complicated, right?
Yeah, no, well, I think it's complicated. I think maybe sometimes more complicated than it needs to be, but whatever, it is what it is, you know? In the end, here we are in the final 2 days of 2025, which I can't even believe, you know, we're into 2026 already. I mean, I turn around and look, where the hell did this time go?
Where did the last
65 in 2026? I can't believe it.
Where did the last 30 years go?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean,
and the next 30 are going to go by much faster than
the
next 30. Here we are, you know, the market's going to churn. I actually do think that they're going to test 7,000 before it's over on Wednesday. The European markets are all higher by about 0.5%. Italy's actually up better than 1%. U.S. futures were slightly negative. I think they're going to go positive. And I think they are going to make the S&P at least kiss 7,000. We may not pierce it, but I think they want to at least kiss it to say that they did it in 2025. So I'm betting that's going to happen before the bell rings tomorrow night.
I have a very, very concern about 2026, and I don't usually, you know, push what I do that much on the show because I try and keep them separate. But I tell you what, anybody who thinks that 2026 is just to sit there and watch it go up year like 2025, I would not bet on that. I mean, at all. I see this. I mean, and Carl's always raving about, you know, and Hal as well, these deficits and so forth. Someplace, somewhere, Kenny, we're going to have to get a tax increase. I mean, I'm reading a story here this morning about this rogue kind of guy in California.
Yeah.
Said something about a wealth tax. You know what? I'm not for a wealth tax, but that's the big hunk of money in this country that's not being taxed. Where else are you gonna get it?
Okay, but again, how do you honestly come up with a wealth tax number? Like, how do you value it? How do you value it?
Well, first thing you do is you and again, I have a lot of clients that, you know, unfortunately some of them are getting older. A lot of clients that do the, you know, if you bought IBM at $4 and you croak and it's at $3.05, your kid never has to pay taxes on it. Well, that's got to go. I mean, if we're serious about some kind of a deficit, why does somebody, if you croak, it's all free?
I don't support that.
I don't either.
I like the way.
Well, sure you do. I mean, sure you do. I mean, you know.
I want to inherit my parents' portfolio.
So do I. I mean, except my parents are already gone. But I mean, that's you look at where the, you know, where are the issues when you're talking about taxes?
The wealth tax that they're talking about is in California, if I understand it. It's like a tax on their total wealth. So you're going to add their houses, their planes, their
cars, okay,
all that shit. I don't know how you honestly value that. And is it a one-time?
You know what, Kenny? You're too young. You're too young.
Yeah.
Illinois used to have a personal property tax.
Yeah.
And it was the most bizarre thing. I'm going to say when I was really young. Really, yep. I'm talking about 5 and 6. It only spread to like a few people. I wonder if it's even in Wikipedia. Because my aunt was always, they were always after her for personal property. And her husband was a painter, and she was an assistant in a little insurance company. They didn't have any part. They had one car, and they rented an apartment. And yet they were on her for personal property. I don't know where it was. she had a serving of 12 of sterling silver she got for her wedding. That was probably her entire but Illinois had a personal property tax. So it's not like it hasn't been tried. It was a horrible idea. I don't want to go anywhere near there. But I think when you look at regular people, since people's income are not going up, you would think that if the GDP is growing, that you would get, if the wealth is growing like it is in this country, that your taxes would be ballooning. But they're not, because the wealth is not coming from income. It's coming from money pouring into the system and appreciating assets.
Correct.
So you have people that are, made $5 billion last year that aren't going to pay a penny. Okay, but I'm my heart is with you on this. But I'm saying, looking at it the other way, going, wait a minute.
Okay, I understand. So then, how do you, are we going to look at just billionaires and higher? We're going to look at millionaires. We're going to look at everybody. Like, how are you going to do that?
One way, and again, this happened to market makers, as you well know. All your commodity investments. And again, I'm just lobbing these out there, because I mean, I'm starting to see people come up with dumb ideas. Why not make everybody over a certain level be a professional trader? You mark the market every year.
Okay. I mean, I guess that could work. We'd have to talk about it and see what.
I don't want that at all. But it's what it says is, if you buy IBM at 200 and it's 300 at the end of the year, you owe $100, just like a market maker.
Yeah.
I'm not for that. But
right. But you're trying to come up with. I get it. You're just trying to come up with ideas. I understand.
Because I mean, that's what happened to us, right?
It is what happened. I think the issue is, you know, we can have this ongoing conversation, but there also has to become some restraint in the spending, and there has to be restraint in social programs where there's massive fraud. Do we need even to talk about that? Can you only imagine? Listen, this Minnesota thing is only the tip of the iceberg. That's going to be rampant everywhere, which is why D.C.'s not going to really push too hard on it, because they're all doing it.
Why does everybody... And I do this myself. So, I mean, why does everybody look down? When you look at, and we used to have this argument in the pit when it was slow. People would say, look at all these guys stealing on food stamps.
Yeah.
Yet, when you talk about welfare, I define welfare because I was a welfare baby. And my dad died young, and my mother got $200 a month from Social Security survivor benefits. And that's what paid for my Notre Dame education. It was more like $110 a month. Yep. So, you know, anytime you get a nickel from the government that you didn't pay for, it's welfare. But nobody looks at it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who has, you know, years ago, I mean, there were guys in the pit, and I'd say, by the way, your father just had bypass surgery, right? Well, yeah. Go, how much was that? Well, I don't know, 60, 70 grand. I said, well, okay, he's over 65, right? Yeah. I said, did you pay for it? No. Did he pay for it? No. Who paid for it? Medicare. How much has he paid to Medicare? It's only been a 10-year program. Maybe he paid in there five. Well, now he's got a surgery for 65. That's 60's welfare. And they'd look at you like you got four heads. It's well, anytime you get money from a government that you didn't pay in.
I hear that. I mean, I hear the way you describe it, and there is some logic to it, but I don't think the majority of people look at it like
that. Well, no, sure. No, they don't. For them, it's deserved. For the other guy, it's welfare, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, come on. We know what. I mean, the fact is, there's people stealing incredible amounts of money that aren't paying their taxes, that did stuff overseas or brought to bring it. These numbers dwarf every food stamp check in the last 20 years to everybody, don't they?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I it is a difficult conversation, but again, do you do it? If you do this wealth tax thing, do you do it every year? Do you do it just once?
I don't want to do it at all.
I know you don't want to do it at all, but if we're looking for ways to help, you know, my idea is, you should. Can you imagine what it would be like if every publicly traded company in this country actually volunteered to pay, you know, a higher rate to help the country? Don't you think that would be better? Don't you think people would embrace that if Apple, Tim Cook came up and said, listen, we owed X, but we paid Y because we want to help the country? I think people, investors would flood into Apple.
Because, no, it is so endemic in the mentality now, which we talked about earlier, that if we cut the corporate rate from 35 to 25, everybody would be happy. No, they won't. Because now if everybody's paying 25, I got to pay 15 to gain an advantage.
Correct.
We've reached the point, Kenny, and we've talked about it with a whole bunch of different people. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. I mean, and unfortunately, we're there. I never felt that way in the trading floor. People didn't feel that way. I don't think on the New York floor, if you weren't a crooked specialist, you could still make a living.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now we've gotten to this point where, but I mean, you look around you. I mean, again, I'm turning some people off here today with this wealth tax thing, but there are people in this country. I mean, Marty Kearney and I went to, at the CBOE's behest, we went to some huge. What's the big investment firm in Philadelphia or bank? Was there? They were there forever. It's got bought by somebody. I don't know. I'll think of the name. But all these, they were all trust funders.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at age 25, they had all this stock, okay, and something, and maybe property. None of them worked a damn day in their life, Kenny. And all of a sudden, they've made $1 billion. Okay. And they haven't paid tax one. I mean, if you're looking for where the wealth is or the money is, that's where it is. I mean, I'm not saying I want to force them to sell. I don't do any of that stuff. I want things the way it is. But I also know we're broke, and you can't get blood out of a turnip, as the Irish say.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I just, you know, part of me thinks, I think investors would embrace any publicly traded company that volunteers to stand up and say, listen, we're trying to help out. We want to help out the country. Here's what we're going to do.
I think that everybody couldn't wait to sell that stock, because you look at all these. I mean, I study this more than I should, Kenny. That's why I'm so bitter about it. Is you look at the people, who was the first, you probably know the answer to this. What was the first drug company to move their carcass offshore so they didn't have to pay as much taxes?
I have no idea.
Remember Forest Labs?
Forest Labs, yes.
They went to Bermuda or something. You know what they did? Those, whatever I want to call them, I won't say it on the air. They actually took their patents and put the patents over in Bermuda or someplace and rented the patents from the offshore firm and put all the profit over there. So they didn't pay any tax. You know, and they took a U.S. patent, stuck it overseas, and used that as a way to not pay U.S. income taxes.
Yeah.
So they end up getting bought by somebody, and all of a sudden now everybody's doing it, right? Because if somebody's doing it, everybody's got to do it. Same way with banks. Banks had a spot overseas where they were doing this stuff. Okay, right. So but what happens, Kenny, it's not you and I might we might be in the drug business here, and you know what? You and I have a problem. We're too honest. You and I would never have done that. So now we're sitting there and we're paying 30% taxes, and these bumps are paying nothing. All of a sudden, some firm that has a new drug that helps out with God knows what is on the market, and the guys there just want to sell. Guess what? We're getting outbid by the bumps overseas because they got more money than we do.
Yeah.
And they're probably buying it from overseas money, which is even more bizarre because now that thing goes overseas. I mean, you're almost to the point where we're at that point where if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah.
Which is pretty scary to say it.
But that is the truth. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. 100%.
And I don't, that's not my world. It never was on the trading floor.
And it's not mine either.
Right. But it seems to be the drill. So when somebody says something about, well, we need a wealth tax, it's because we're broke and we're not getting it from the guy making 40 grand a year. And we're not going to get it out of him. But we're already getting it out of him as much as we possibly can, right?
Yeah, as much as we possibly can. As much.
Yeah. I mean, how much more can we – in the last – I mean, you know, we've talked about this before on various different subjects. When you came on the show, I will bet you the average person was before COVID. We've been on together a while.
Yeah.
The average person probably made 40 grand.
Okay.
And now that guy is probably up to, that guy or lady is probably pushing 53 or so. Okay. Well, where the tax rate goes up, where? Somewhere in the 40s, right? Is it 40 or 50? Plus, if you bump past 50, you're not getting any help from Obamacare.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that person is in way worse shape today making 53 than they were making 47 years ago.
100%.
I don't think it's even close. 100%. So you're not going to solve a $1 trillion deficit a year or $2 trillion trying to get more stuff out of that guy. There's no more blood in that turnip.
No, but you know, but look what they're doing, and look what they're doing in Illinois, by the way, New York, California. They say they're for the little guy, affordability, all that stuff. They're all voting against allowing, the no tax on tips and the no tax on Social Security not to go through in those states. Like, they're not going to support it. They're going to continue to tax tips and all that. So who are they taking it from? They're taking it from the working class.
Well, okay. I'm with you on that, but we have a guy in the Oval Office that likes to think he's Caesar. Even Caesar wouldn't do that. Okay, you get to pay taxes, but by the way, you guys vote for me and you don't. You don't have to. I mean, whatever it is, it ought to be even, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my tip is income, correct?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so because I want the bartender vote, I'm going to say bartenders don't have to pay income taxes? I mean, where does that end when you start doing that?
Okay, but we could talk about that all day because they all do that. They all cater to who they want to support.
Not to that. I can't imagine Nixon or Kennedy walking around saying, vote for me, and oh, by the way, if you're a construction worker, your rate is 20 when everybody else is 40.
No, I agree. I don't think, but look, I think politics has changed from the Nixon Kennedy era to what it is today. I don't ever remember as a young man growing up the kind of the vitriol and the way politics is today versus the way it was.
It's all because of money. It's all because of money, Kenny.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, everybody. 100%. You and I could go somewhere to a cocktail party and we'd enjoy ourselves, and all of a sudden I suspect we'd be surrounded by people at a table and we'd be saying stuff, and somebody would say, I can't believe it costs $1 million to run for a senator. And you and I might look at him like he's 4 years old and say, there's got to be 500 people in that state that would be happy to pay the full $1 million because the amount of money these guys dish out from the governmental level is way more than it ever was in the Nixon Kennedy era. Then you're talking about defense. You know, the only people that stole money back in those days were, you know, an airplane contract we didn't need. But
yeah.
There wasn't all the rest of this stuff was never around. Look at the largesse. I mean, look what Trump tosses around. I mean, he makes these other guys, but the other guys were almost as bad. I mean, Biden, it's all been a progression. This guy, you know, you give me money for my campaign, I'll give you a contract. He's right out with it.
Yeah, right. No, I hear you. Yes, he is.
Which I mean, anybody who thinks that's okay, you know, it's such a, you know, I don't know, Kenny, it's almost like if you walk down the street in Chicago and every day somebody went out and kicked you right in the ass, maybe after 6 months you'd think that was a normal walk or something. It just happens every day. It's just part of walking down the street in Chicago. You kick the ass once. I mean, anybody think this is normal? You go to Mar-a-Lago, which isn't to say that the drug companies haven't bought everybody in Congress for the last how many years. It's not like he's the only one. He's the only one who actually has the balls to put it in your face and say, here's what I'm doing. Everybody goes, okay. I had a discussion. I'd love your opinion on this. Somebody was talking about Lyndon Johnson getting bags of money. And Paul Powell, who used to be the Secretary of State in Illinois, getting bags of money. In my response, they had no idea where I was coming from, Kenny. I said, you know why they got bags of money? And they looked at me and they said, no, why? I said, because these people were very immoral, okay?
Yeah.
They knew it was wrong. That's why they wanted the money in a bag, because they would put it in their back pocket and nobody would know about it. Now, these people aren't immoral. They're amoral. They don't care if you see them taking the dough.
Yep.
It's a whole different program. Dealing with immoral people is one thing. Dealing with amoral people, they don't even think there are any morals.
Yeah.
I mean, which is worse? I mean, the fact that somebody would get the dough in a brown paper bag means they knew it was wrong. To just walk up and have a check right in front of the TV camera, I don't know what planet that's from. I'm making you laugh here, I know, but am I right or wrong?
No, you are so right.
I could see a Chicago alderman, you know, 50 years ago, you know, Uncle Charlie needs a job, and you put $100 in one of his hands. At least you put it silently into his hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's so long ago. It's statute of limitations. You weren't supposed to give anybody on the trading floor what more than a $50 Christmas present, right? Like court reporters or anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Well, of course, in the OEX, there's 350 people, so. The quote reporter next to you, if he worked hard and he liked you, I'm not saying to the dislike of anybody else, God, Kenny, the guy was worth thousands of dollars to you at the end of the year. But and when you went down to the bank, the Harris Bank, on Christmas, people are pulling $100 bills out of there like there's no tomorrow. Nobody paid attention to the but you didn't take the hundo out, put it up to the light and hand it to the guy. you slipped it to him. Your hand, right? You didn't advertise the fact that you were doing over double the 50, were you?
No, right.
Now nobody cares. Here's the hundo. Come and get me. Just saying. How's this for New Year's Eve talk?
It is.
So what do you think next year?
I have to jump. Tomorrow night, we're hanging out. We're going out to dinner with a couple of friends of ours, an early dinner, probably, I don't know, 7 o'clock. And I'll be back in my house by probably 9:30 or 10. I'll be lucky if I see the ball drop. I'm usually sound asleep before.
Well, see, now I can watch the ball drop. It's only 11 o'clock here.
Yeah, right.
I got to go to a wedding tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Do you really?
Yeah, we've got to work all day.
Tomorrow you're going to work all day. I'm not going to work all day. I'll work in the morning. But then you have a wedding tomorrow night?
Yeah. I never heard of such a thing.
I guess you'll have a good time.
Well, yeah. Right? Well, you know, I don't think I'm hanging there till midnight. I'll be snoozing in the chair. Anyway, buddy, happy New Year. Happy, healthy New Year, buddy.
Thank you, and to you.
SP Futures down 150, NASDAQ Futures down 6. Do we have Professor Hal?
Yes, we do.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
I'm doing all right. We've been talking about you the whole hour.
Oh, you were? I kind of in and out. My mother-in-law, we were watching that series, the prequel to Yellowstone together.
Oh, this is the one where...
Han Solo is Kevin Costner's uncle.
What was the real prequel? Where they was
the real prequel was with Tim McGraw and Ray Fielder called 1893.
And yeah, I saw like one or two of those. They were pretty good.
The series is really good. But this is the second time I watched it. It was the first time I watched it with my mother-in-law. But there was a scene where they're trying to steal the Dutton Ranch from Spencer, and that story with Spencer and the princess is just incredible. The whole love story, the travel from Africa through London, Marseille, and to the United States, I mean, it's just epic. I mean, it's just incredible. But there's a scene where these industrialists, headed by Wakefield, he's I think he's a former Bond actor, you know, James Bond actor, Timothy Dutton. Yeah, he's this British industrialist that is now an American living in Montana. And the guy is just pure freaking evil. And he's hatched a plan to steal the Dutton Ranch by just murdering, using a badge to murder.
Well, murdering the people usually gets you something.
Yeah, yeah, you got to steal it. You don't. People make either you build it or you take it, and this guy's a taker. And he's talking to all these other rich people in Montana about how they're gonna tourism's the new industry, and Montana's got plenty of it. And one of the guys says, well, you're talking about restaurants and hotels, right? And he goes, yeah. And the guy then responds with, well, those have low margins. And what I found interesting was when Timothy Dutton responded with, if we do it independently, you're right. But if we work together, which means they're going to form a cartel.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I just, that series just is in your face about what our economic system has become. It's just pure neo-market.
Yeah, competition is the greatest thing in the world for every industry but mine, because we have cutthroat competition.
Yeah, if you're pro-business, you're not pro-free markets. You're only pro-free markets in the things that you purchase.
Right, oh yeah.
You're not pro-free markets in the things that you sell. this whole series is about how property taxes are a device by the ultra-wealthy. They say, oh, we got to fund the public school system with the property taxes. Really, I think the property taxes is a vehicle that these, you know, Orwellian doublespeak to hide the real purpose of the property tax. The real purpose of the property tax is so that if it's high enough, the person living in the house can't pay it, and then some guy comes in and buys it at bargain basement prices. Because there's another scene in 1923 where Timothy Dutton's character tells this Scott that he has working for him, you know, his muscle, that he paid Dutton's property tax for the year, and if Dutton doesn't pay it back by the end of the year, it defaults to him.
You actually get quite a few more than 1 year to pay it back.
Yeah, I mean they're oversimplifying it, but I think that's the real purpose of it.
Well,
here's another thing. I had this real incredible insight into how New York City works.
But if you want to make somebody sell your place, the last thing you want to, I mean, the most inefficient way to do it is go at it through a property tax. You're going to make somebody, the business that's run there.
Well, I think it depends on the state. In some states, it's easier. In other states, it's more difficult.
Well, my
brother-in-law, he mentioned that he looks at people who are struggling to pay property tax as he was looking at that as a way to maybe buy property in New York State.
Very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
You know,
here's another thing.
Our Thursday producer, now we're going to have a show Thursday, Jim Lawler, was in that business. He's a mortgage. He's registered in, I don't know, 18 states or something to do mortgage stuff. And I know some people who could not pay their property taxes, and they were able to redeem it 3 years later. It's like 4 years before it actually goes to tax sale.
Yeah. Well, what it
in
does
New York, is New York is the hardest state in the world to do that to somebody.
Yeah. Well, what it does is it creates a supply of apartments that wouldn't exist otherwise, because people who are back on their, who are, and we don't really observe this, but people who owe property tax will probably, you know, sell, are more likely to sell than people who aren't. And
well,
that's
yeah.
more likely to be higher if the property tax
well,
rate
Well,
funny
is
higher.
You should mention that, because this week we were talking on Christmas Day. The weather was like 60 degrees, but we went to in New Orleans. They have this big dog park, and Audrey's got this poodle. She's a great dog, and she loves to run.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that poodles were, but she's the fastest dog in the park. I mean, and whatever she'll run.
Poodles are incredible athletes.
She'll run as long as you want to hit the tennis ball. She'll run 25, 50 yard sprints if you want. Anyway, so there's one old dude out there. Imagine me talking to the guy, right? And it turns out he's all kind of bumming. He just had a big tax increase. The northern side of the city here just was reassessed is the term. And all of a sudden, everybody's got these tax bills that are basically sticking them right where the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
And we're talking, you know, 15 grand to 25, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And so he's talking about his daughter moved downtown. She moved near north. Further than near north. I don't remember if he said she bought a smaller house or a nice condo or what she did, but her taxes were like 12 and now they're 17.
Hmm.
And he goes, she doesn't have $400 a month. And John Flanagan, who was on yesterday, said in his neighborhood, because his neighborhood got caught up in this, that the minute this went out, he goes, I went to walk the dog the next morning, I see four for sale signs.
Yep, yeah.
And, you know, Audrey yesterday as well was saying that once in a while that'll happen between somebody getting a mortgage commitment and the closing, and all of a sudden it screws the deal because the person can't afford the new taxes. But, I mean, the idea of, I always drop back, I mean, you know, some of us, not mentioning any names, Hal, you know, look at this as a, you know, it's turned into this big circus. But in reality, I mean, what are property taxes? I mean, when you have property rights and people decide to live together, I mean, it's pretty, I think people forget the simplicity of where this all started. I mean, the idea is, okay, we now got 200 people living in this town, and by the way, not everybody is law-abiding. We better have a policeman. I mean, where's Marshall Dillon? You know, somebody might have a fire. We probably need a fireplace. And by the way, we got all these kids running around that don't know anything. We probably should have a school. And by the way, maybe we should pave the road so every time we go down here, don't get stuck in the mud. So, I mean, it becomes very basic of these are certain services that now people collectively living together need. And the idea is for us to share these expenses. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have this political system where the person who comes in to run this for us is going to do a good job, or if he doesn't, we're going to throw him out and get another guy in. In its simplicity, once we decide to make it all this other crap on top of it, we lose the simplicity. But it's right down to, that's what I learned at Pullman, it's down to picking up this piece of metal, bolting them together, and that's how you start with a railroad car. I mean, if you lose your simplicity, you lose your focus, I think.
Well, I think I got some counter arguments to that. In Hershey, Pennsylvania, there are a lot of cities like this where an industrialist like Mr. Hershey comes in and builds a town. He built the town.
Okay.
He put the roads down. Right? I think same thing with Pullman. Pullman had a company town.
There's always going to be, but I'm saying at the end of the day, somebody, I was talking about just people gathering.
The industrialist needs the roads. And okay. Here's another interesting tidbit.
Well, if you're going to have a big enough plant, you probably need a railroad. You need all those other sides.
Yeah.
It gets more complicated. I say just don't ever lose the simplicity.
Yeah. Here's this other tidbit that's from 1923. That industrialist, Timothy Dutton, says, here is the coup d'etat, the cream on top of the sundae, or the cherry on top of the sundae. We're going to have the government put in the road. Because we're going to convince them that the property values are going to go way up when we build. We're going to get the government to build the road that we need to build for.
Well, it depends on what is first. I mean, right now, you're sounding like Denny Hastert. If I can get this exit on 355 close to my property gets a hell of a lot worth a hell of a lot more, right?
Well, I'm just saying that Timothy Dutton and his elite wealthy friends in the series. They're going to have the taxpayer build the road that they need for their investment to pay off.
Sure. Right? And their justification is going
to
be...
they get to sell it to the government of the state of Montana by saying, hey, these property taxes by the local governments, the property taxes that you collect are going to go way up because the properties are going to go way up as a result of our investment. And that's how they sell government in building a road that they... should have built.
What do you think happened in Kenosha with the whatever people who were going to build the place there? And what do you think happened in the five or six places that Trump's talking about? And not just him. They all would have done it. These guys coming over for the chip factories. They're giving them everything, right?
I know, exactly. And should we? I mean, the question is, should we be doing that?
Well,
should Utah be given PayPal a property tax, 10-year property tax waiver, to build a data center in Utah?
I would say you're asking me.
I'm asking society in general.
Okay, my line would be, if somebody wants to take, you know, some abandoned place on the south side, of which there's many, and clean up the property and put some kind of a place there that's going to have 1,000 people working there, or 500 or 400 or whatever it is. I think I should not help them. I shouldn't give them any sort of part like they gave, I think they gave Deere, where the state tax goes back to them or something. I wouldn't do anything like that. But I'll tell you what, if a rapid transit line like the Green Line went right by there, I think I owe them a station there. In other words, the infrastructure that other people have, I think they should be able to get and count on.
Yeah, but I think we're treating the symptoms like American.
Well, I'm saying that's my line. I'm willing to do my job. Yeah. If you're going to have 90 bazillion people right there, you need an exit on the tollway. Something like that. That's where I am.
This is the problem. This is the problem with Western medicine and economics in general, is that we treat the symptoms, we don't treat the disease. The question we should be asking here is, why is that area so economically depressed? What policies led to that? And there are policies that lead to these kinds of things.
I think a lot of it is just we allowed, well,
maybe the property taxes, maybe the tax structure,
no,
is so overwhelming. The firms that were there leave.
Well, we got to go to break, but when we come back, I'm going to give you two very short stories, and a lot of it has to do with people sending stuff overseas. But the
question is, why do they do that?
Because the labor was all the rice you could eat in China. But also,
yeah, but there are other reasons other than.
All right, after break, I'm going to give you a couple.
Can
they stole they stole the pension fund from a lot of these places and put them under.
Yeah,
I mean that's one thing you never mentioned, but that was a big push for a lot of these places here. SP Futures down 175, NASDAQ Futures down 5. Kenny says we'll be up on the day or by tomorrow. We'll see. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jacks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jacks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm tomorrow, Ricky on the board. SP Futures down 2, NASDAQ Futures down 11. Ricky, you got to get a picture of you in your cold weather outfit to get it on there. On the website.
Yeah, I should, man.
And if you go ice fishing this weekend, you got to give me a picture.
I'll do my best, man. I totally want to do that. You know,
do me a favor. Don't fall in.
No, I won't. I can swim though.
Look, I don't think you can swim. You know, find the hole.
You don't
want to
swim in.
No, looking for the hole to get out of. God. I can see Hal as an ice fisherman. That's something I never really wanted to try. Although, I suppose.
He's from North Dakota. When we lived in Michigan together after the Navy, Sean would walk out on Lake Erie, the lake west of the east of Detroit. He'd walk out of Lake Erie and go ice fishing for like 8 hours.
Whoa!
Well, there's places.
I never went out there.
Well, there's places in Wisconsin where Ricky's going, where you actually can get your hole, and then it's your hut, and you can actually drive your pickup right out to your hut because there's so much ice on it. I mean, that maybe I could roll with, but anyway.
I think Ricky needs to watch Beautiful Girls and Grumpy Old Men before he goes ice fishing.
Beautiful Girls and Grumpy Old Men?
I'm not so sure if I was looking for girls ice fishing would be the place. What, he's going to put an ad up? Looking for a girlfriend with Ice Hut? Please send picture of Ice Hut? What? anyway. God.
Well, they drive their ice houses, ice fishing houses, out onto the ice.
Yeah, well, your little trailer behind your pickup.
Yeah, they have a hole in the ice hut, and then they drill a hole into the ice, and they just sit out there and drink beer and catch fish.
Well, you got to have an auger. No way I'm chipping through.
It's a great excuse to drink beer.
Oh, that's God. Europe, we're up over in Europe. We got the DAX up 139.6%, FTSE up 49.5%, CAC around up 45.5%. So basically, 0.5% across the board up over there. We're in Asia, Nikkei down 187. It's a couple days in a row on the down there, but it's only 0.4%. They had a pretty good year there. Hang Seng up 219.8%. Shanghai, down 16 cents. So let's call that one like really flat. Bonds, again, going nowhere, 4.13, actually up one tick. Bund up two ticks, 2.85. Oil, up 26 cents, but still, 58.34, cannot make it back to 60. Gold, here's where all the action is. Gold was down like 150 yesterday. It's up 64 today, 44.08. I think it topped out at like 45-something, so it's not there yet. But silver's up $5, back up to $75. Now, yesterday traded 80, then traded like 70 in the same day, which is really something. And Copper up 16 cents, 572. The Copper contract is like 25,000 pounds, hell. And it's a big deal. If you like, a dollar in the Copper trade is like 25,000 bucks on a one lot. That's really something. Foreign exchange, again, the dollar's kind of low. The euro's at 117.6. The pound 134.9, almost 135. Crypto up 675, 87,822. It's right around his 87,000 number here for quite a while. Ricky, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
7:34 a.m. here in Chicago. Right now, 15 degrees right now with a high of 26. I apologize. Cloudy and chilly today. Breezy this afternoon with snow and some flurries possibly, so watch out for slippery spots. Tonight, we'll have low clouds and a low of 22 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 61 degrees right now with a high of 74. Pleasant with intervals of clouds and sunshine. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 56 degrees. Traffic in Chicago, clear roads all around pretty much. They reported an accident on Kennedy eastbound by Cumberland Avenue, exit 79. No lane closures though. Dan Ryan and Eisenhower look clear. Some slow traffic reported on exit ramp 292 northbound on Stevenson. Other than that, close to no congestion, Chief. Looking really, really good today. Let's talk sports real quick. Falcons beat Rams yesterday, 27-24. And the Bears lost last week, but morale is high at the top of the division. So this Sunday, January 4th, we got Lions visiting Bears at 3:25 p.m. and Cardinals at Rams at the same time. For the NHL, Blackhawks are hosting Islanders tonight at 7:30, so maybe expect some delays down Eisenhower. Lastly, NBA, Suns beat Wizards yesterday 115-101, and Bulls lose to Timberwolves 136-101. Back over to you guys.
Yeah, the Bulls got their two best guys hurt. And I think, you know what else got hurt last night? That was a guy in Denver, Jokic.
Oh, yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like watching him. He's a great boy. What a great ball player.
Well,
he is.
I like watching him play because he actually puts his butt to the basket.
Oh, yeah, he's got is that guy strong enough?
And he passes.
Enough?
His passing is incredible.
Is he strong enough or what, that guy? I mean, you talk about a tree trunk of a dude. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, he's like Tyson, that boxer Tyson, what's his name?
Mike Tyson.
No, not Mike Tyson. He was named for Mike Tyson, but he's the Scott or the Brit.
Oh.
Tyson, the one that...
Tyson Fury?
Yeah, Tyson Fury. He doesn't look like he's in shape, but...
He's just a big bulky dude. But yeah, you could push him as hard as you wanted to move, and he wouldn't budge.
Yeah, he. You know, I think the dudes with man boobs like Tyson Fury are the guys you need to be afraid of, man.
You know,
I don't think you want to be afraid of the guys with six pack abs and defined biceps.
I would be one of the guys. I used to play on Thursday nights at Pullman. There's a Lithuanians are really into basketball, right? And every 4 years they have the Lugan Olympics, they call it, where guys will actually go to like Australia or someplace from all over the world and have like basketball tournaments and stuff. And I used to play with those guys on a Thursday night, and there were some really good ball players, and there's some big guys. And the guys that just are, you know, you look at them and they're just thick, you know. And the word they used to use, the phrase was, he takes up space, which means if he's in the middle and he goes up for the ball, there could be three guys hanging on him, and all three guys all of a sudden fly back, like a gorilla jumped up, and you were a fly on the back, and you just flew off the thing. I mean, those guys are big dudes, they're just solid guys. I mean, and this guy's like that. I mean, you see guys run into him, and it doesn't even bother him.
Yeah, he just bounces off him, man.
Yeah, it's like
those old Irish boxers, those brick boxers. Yeah,
just brick wall kind of guys.
Nails, man.
Yeah.
It's tough as nails.
Well, the stuff we're, you know, it's funny how the last few months we're all talking about I think the listeners like every day it seems like a different subject, but to me it's the same subject. Every day it's stuff. You know, how are we going to get our house in order?
The disease, there's one disease and lots of symptoms. And I want to treat the disease, not the symptoms.
Well, but I my concern is that we're getting so far away from any sort of economic reality or any sort of law and order.
We're getting really far away from competitive free exchange economy.
Well, we're also getting away from any sort of enforcement of any kind of law, no matter what it is. Going through a red light on a bike, we don't seem to care about any law.
In San Francisco, I remember watching a video of a guy eating a breakfast sandwich on the BART platform. They arrested him, but they let people ransack a pharmacy. Then on the show, 1923.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In
1923, alcohol, it's during the time of Prohibition. The sheriff and the head of Montana's livestock commission, which is a police officer, they're in a speakeasy off of Main Street, you know, a couple blocks off Main Street in a basement where you need a passport to get in. They're drinking whiskey. Then the next day they go into a judge's office who has whiskey, and it's all illegal. The judge has whiskey in his drawer and he puts it in his coffee. And they use the fact that the judge is drinking whiskey in his coffee as a way to get the judge to side with him in a court case.
Oh, yeah, well.
That's before his...
Different now, because that was a law, Prohibition, that was kind of enforced in a country that didn't want it.
Yeah.
You know, where speeding is sort of different. People are supposed to be able to come together and say, all right, this road is a 60-mile-an-hour road. That's where it can be safe. We don't want somebody going 90 because they're going... If they were just all there themselves going 90 and killed each other, maybe we wouldn't care. But they're liable to kill somebody else. That's why you pull them over at going 90, right?
But well, you pull them over if they're going in and out of traffic. That's what a
But I'm saying now the point being is there's people this morning. Some guy went by me about 85 downtown here. Well, there's nothing but exits. The engineers have determined that downtown here in Chicago, because of all the exits, because of all the weaving back and forth, that 45 is the number. Now, I would probably debate that number could be 50, maybe 55, but not 90. So if somebody goes by at 90, you're either going to enforce it or you're not. And here we don't. And it's reached the point where if I'm going out to Audrey's this weekend and I'm going 65 on the Stevenson and somebody pulls me over, my first thought is, why me? I'm going because I'm an old white guy in a pickup truck and I'm probably not going to come out shooting, and you can give me a ticket for going 65 where the guy just went by me at 100, you let him go. I mean, it is so out there that if you ever got pulled over, the first thing in your mind would be, what did I do? Did I flip him off?
Apparently Boise, I have friends that live in Boise, I think the Boise mayor is either proposing it or put it into law that every city street defaults to 20 miles per hour, even if it's not posted.
Well, it's
20 miles per hour.
In Chicago, it's 30.
What is 20 miles per hour, Tom? It's a way to raise revenues.
No, it's in the city of Chicago, you don't need a speed limit sign on a city street. It's 30.
But Boise lowered it to 20.
Well,
what is that? What's the purpose of that?
Well, okay. Well, here you have, and I'm not a traffic engineer, but I will tell you this: if the speed limit was 10, and it was totally enforced, you'd never have a traffic fatality.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, so if it
people
was
wouldn't get to work,
if it, you wouldn't, you know, there's all kinds of problems with that. Now, okay, if it was 100, there'd be idiots that would be going 100. There'd be idiots that are going 110 because they got to do better than that. Now, you're going to have a lot of traffic facility. Now, where does somebody set the bar? And that's where, in my world of Nowheresville, that's where people elect some people, they sit down, and they try and get a happy medium on this. Okay, it's going to be 35. Because we think somebody can drive 35 on this street with the amount of people here, with the amount of red lights, and it can be safe. Well, that implies, any law implies enforcement, which we don't have now. You know, and people, I tell you a quick story. I went to, somehow or another, I was in Columbus visiting my family, but I had to go north. So I took the toll road back. In the Ohio Turnpike, there's some construction there. And it says, construction 45 miles an hour. Now, in Ohio, unlike Illinois, they actually mean it. In Illinois, nobody slows down. There's construction people getting killed in construction areas every year. It's less
and
than.
And by the way, Tom, in Illinois, they don't enforce the traffic laws. Doesn't work in an Ohio court.
Well, yeah. So I mean, so and all of a sudden, I see over my 10 or 15 miles that you know, I'm driving them by the construction, I see like 7 or 8 cars pulled over. And lo and behold, now I'm getting curious. Out of the 7 or 8, 5 or 6 had Illinois plates on them.
Because
they're like, I'm sure the first question is, what are you doing? Bozo, you're doing 70 in a 45 construction. We don't pay attention to anything. Yeah, well, we do here. Here's your ticket.
I have this joke in New York that road markings and road signs are all optional.
Yeah.
In New York City. Because you have taxi cab drivers in Manhattan occupying two lanes at one time. You have the double parkers, the triple parkers, yeah. The illegal parkers. You have the legal left turners. It is just nuts. And then you have the unlicensed dollar cabs going up and down Flatbush. It feels like you're on a ski slope and you're going through a slalom course. That's how it's a full contact sport.
But right now, I mean, you sent out some really nice stuff. In this world, who in this government? I'm not saying that, you know, if we had Harris or somebody else, it would be better. Who in this government is going to think for a second about antitrust? You just saw
nobody.
I mean, this guy in Nvidia. I don't know why he bugs me so much, but he does. I think that guy.
The guy that runs ChatGPT kind of bugs me, Sam Altman.
Okay, but this dude. Why the guy from Nvidia? If he could sell us out to China tomorrow, he would. And Trump is in the middle of this. Oh no, we can't sell him.
Well, in a free society, he could sell us out to China in a free society.
Okay, but no.
He could do business with whomever he wants.
No.
In a free society.
Okay, so if
in a mercantilist society, no.
In if he'd have been around before he invaded Poland three more years, everybody here should have been free to sell bullets to Hitler?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay, I
in a free society.
Okay, but it's not a free world.
In a free society. Okay, here's an example of where we're treating symptoms versus treating the disease. In a free society in Europe, if Europe was a free society.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I know. If it was, Hitler wouldn't have arisen.
Okay. But the fact is, I wouldn't want to be selling. And there were people here that loved the fact that we could sell the guy stuff. And now we got people here loving the fact that we can. What was it? A capitalist will be more than happy to sell you the rope, which you're going to hang him with?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying this.
In a free society, capitalists are free
okay, but
to sell
my
that
point
rope
is, and anybody. Okay, but there is no such thing as a free society. There never was.
Yeah.
Okay, but the point is, isn't NVIDIA big enough this week? $20 billion, they're going to buy some company. Now, do we think that company is up and coming in the whatever the AI world is? Do we think for a second that's not a restraint of trade?
Yeah.
And we're all fine with it.
Though, Tom, a monopoly can only exist in the short run.
Okay.
They cannot exist in the long run without government assistance.
Right, well, they're going to bring a parcel to the White House and say, let's bless this.
Yeah.
Now, today, we got Meta taking over something. Meta's not big enough. They need to take over somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Just saying. I'm just asking the question.
Well, the policies that DC's adopted. You look at this guy tweeted this graph of low skilled workers and their wages not keeping up, right? Or employment at small firms with under 50 employees. That's actually declining.
Sure it is.
Why is that? Because that article I wrote points out that the banking and monetary policy rule changes from 2008 to 2020 have skewed all the lending to the bigger firms, to the
that was just a continuation of what started in 2000 or 1990.
Yeah,
which is another way. Everybody talks about the middle class. Every single I'm going to say the triplets, your triplets when they have. Yeah. And they have grandkids, and I sure as hell don't want this to happen. I have a feeling they're going to be sitting around some night, their grandkids, when they're 50-ish. Somebody's going to say, what does this middle class mean?
Yeah.
And one of them's going to say, oh, I just read about that in school. That was a phenomenon in the U.S. and maybe Europe between the years of 1948 and 1984. And it never happened before or since in society. We're back to nobles and serfs.
Yeah.
Because we're going right there.
Well, I think that's the Hamiltonian vision of America. Hamilton wanted a strong central government where the states were vassals, where they were just provinces. They weren't independent states. He wanted a strong national government. He wanted to replace the British king with an American king. That's essentially what he wanted. And there are a group of Americans that want that. And they happen to be Republicans and they happen to be Democrats. They're Hamiltonians. Republicans, I think they want the king of America to be from America. But I think the Democrats are more international. They're more European-focused. They're more open to a NATO or a Brussels type of king. They're both Hamiltonians, in my opinion.
I don't.
And Hamiltonians are the opposite of an economic system.
I don't.
Where we have free exchange.
I think if people were educated enough to know what sets us apart and believed in it, we could maintain it. But somehow or another, people don't even understand what we're all about.
Well, I mean, I think that's a result of, you know, a century of public school education, honestly.
I'm going to say that if you were to take...
The state educating their kids has created a group of people who think a Republican, if they vote Republican, a Republican king is great. People who vote Democrat think Democrat
if you were to, if my parents were still alive, my mother would vehemently disagree with you, because when she went to school and when Truman went to school and these other people went to school, the schools were exactly the opposite. They taught the American way like there was no tomorrow.
Well, they
you
did,
learn civics, you learn free society, you learn all that stuff.
We got our public school model from the Prussians, and the Prussians' public school model was to make sure that people know the bell schedule, they know how to get to work, they're in the classroom. It was designed to create an army of factory workers.
It was not here. Those people came out of there. My mother could tell you.
But our system is based off that Prussian
system. Well, whatever, but I'm saying you learn. Even in Catholic school, the first thing we did was history of Chicago, history of Illinois. We learned the Constitution, or at least read parts of it, in the Declaration of Independence in seventh grade.
Oh, yeah, we did, too.
Nobody does that anymore.
I don't think they're doing that today.
Oh, nobody does that anymore. What do you want all that stuff for? I think we have problems here, and I don't want to turn into a plutocracy.
Tom, there wasn't just a switch turned on and off. The public school system started out as a system to crush Catholicism and other liturgical type of religions. It was a Protestant public school system for the most part. It was to make the youth of America Protestant.
I would say that my mother told me all about her school, because my mother ended up being valedictorian in Englewood High School, for God's sake, so she knew something about it. She never said they were anti-church.
Well, they did. They weren't anti-church. That's what I'm saying. Is the public school system started out as a way to get Catholics to become Protestants? It was a very Protestant movement.
Well, she came out of there still a Catholic. Going
back to the 1800s, the public
school system. Well, there's a big difference between the public schools dealing with the immigrants in Chicago, which they all were, and dealing with, you know, somebody in Boston where they want everybody to maintain their Puritan heritage, which I'm sure is a big difference. Anyway, what is your prediction for this year? I mean, I don't want people turning me off, because I don't see how our buddy Greg Pappas hasn't been in for a while, because he's trading early in the morning now. But every once in a while he would he kept a log. He'd used to get the stopwatch out and he'd get to this national debt page. And when he first started doing the show, we were doing, I think, $1 million in was it 45 seconds? And a year later, when he was doing the show, we were down to like 34 seconds in terms of how quickly this debt has grown. First, I have one question, which none of us seem to be able to answer. Why does the national debt grow faster than if you just look at all the monthly, you know, the monthly deficits together? I don't know why that is. There's something else that's... It might be government agency to government agency or something, but it seems like it grows faster. Right now, we're at $38.5 trillion. Debt per citizen is $111,000. Debt per taxpayer is $329,000. And our official budget deficit this year is going to be $1.7 trillion. That's with supposedly $372 billion in tariff revenue. I don't see how the hell we're not going to have a new tax increase, because... Yep. It reminds me of Ronald Reagan's second or third year.
We had tax increases. It's called inflation.
Yep. Okay, I'm talking about real tax increases.
Yeah.
And, inflation is it's out of control. And we talk about the taxes. I mean, all of a sudden, I've got the CNBC on the corner of my eye, and all they're doing is talking about how the outrageousness of this wealth tax that this guy proposed in California, which, I'll say it again, I do not want a wealth tax. But if you look at this country, where the money is, there's an awful lot of people that never worked a day in their life except inherited something worth $100 million. It's not worth $400 million, and they're never going to pay a dime on it. I don't see
how... I think the key here is we don't want to give the Monster any more money. I don't want to give the Monster any more money.
I don't disagree. I'm with you. Yeah. I will say this. If I could sum up my guess, and I have some of the nicest people, but my guess are the hardest people I've ever come across to agree with. What do you think that is?
Well, I think you probably enjoy having exchanges of ideas.
Yes, I do.
That's how we all grow, right?
But try and agree with Carl. It's like you're shooting a guy. Carl, I'm trying to agree with him.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but hey, you can only grow
without a doubt.
Have exchanges of ideas with people you disagree with. If you're only having conversations with people who you agree with, you're not going to grow. Explains why most adults are probably. You know, if all you ever do is listen to your favored media, or, you know, if people on the right listen to only Fox News, or people on the left only listen to the news that they listen to, and they never have a conversation, does that person actually really literally grow as a person? They don't. You have to have conversations with people who you disagree with. Otherwise, you're just in a herd, and those herds have a tendency to go over the cliff. And I've never been one to be in a herd. I'm just not.
No, well,
even in high school, it's in a herd.
But as Dr. Jay once said, Chief, nobody pays for information. They only pay for affirmation.
That's
pretty scary.
And I think a lot of Americans are getting affirmation. They're getting their beliefs affirmed. And that's not science. That's religion. Most Americans who vote are stuck in the Republican religion or they're stuck in the Democratic
religion. Well, but these aren't even... They're not even close to being the Democrat or Republican religion of 15 years ago. I don't think so. I don't know what this is. I mean, when Reagan was in office, they put through this tax decrease, and I think it was pretty legitimate, because at that time I think your upper rate on it
was like
70%. They dropped it to 50, but he also had a lot more deductions.
Yeah.
And but even those guys, even though they were rock rib Republicans. After a year and a half, they go, wait a minute, we're going broke. And so a year and a half, everybody remembers Reagan's tax decrease. Nobody remembers a year and a half later the tax increase bill that went through. Of course, being it was Republican side, and I'm just saying this for truth, the first time dropped a lot of the taxes on wealthier people, and the second time increased a lot of your payroll taxes, which essentially was more of a regressive tax. I mean, go figure. But at least... they realized they needed to do something. Now, Trump is convinced his tariffs are going to do it, and they're not going to do it. I mean,
I don't think they're
going
to do it, no.
I mean, his math is terrible. But if they did do it, it's a massive regressive tax. Say he did get $1 trillion.
He engages in hyperbole. He leverages crazy. I mean, that's what business people do, don't they?
Well, but also, a tariff is very regressive.
Yeah.
So it's we're going to lower the tax on the people in the high end, and we're going to raise it on the people in the low end. And that's the Republican mantra.
The whole tariff discussion requires at least 15, 20 minutes because a tariff is a tax, and it's a tax levied on importers and exporters.
And they can
pass it off on to consumers.
It's
like any tax.
But it is
a tax on corporations.
It's essentially it's essentially a sales tax.
Yeah.
A national sales tax.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter who you tax. The person paying the tax, if their demand is inelastic,
right?
Where the tax, who pays a tax, depends on how inelastic your demand or your supply is. It depends on how inelastic demand is relative to supply. That determines who pays a tax. So the tax, whether it's on a firm or a consumer, is going to be shared. Now the question is, who's going to pay that highest share of that tax? That's the question.
Well, it also is totally.
So if you're opposed to import taxes or export taxes, then because consumers are going to pay higher prices, then you have to be opposed to corporate taxes because corporations are going to pass those taxes off onto the consumer as well. That's the whole point, right? So what level of taxation should we agree on? That's the question. And I want to.
A tax on corporate profits necessarily gets passed on.
Taxes on corporations are going to get passed on.
No, they're not.
They're going to get passed on.
No, they're not. Because you make they could be, But you're if things are competitive, you can't have it both ways here, mister.
Well, things aren't competitive, Tom.
Okay, if they were competitive, which you're pushing towards, then whatever the company makes, they make. They don't, and if you put a tax on their profits, and I'm not saying that should go up or not, if you put a tax on their profits, they're still charging as much as they can. They can't go out tomorrow and charge more because that's going to make them non-competitive. The thing that everybody forgets on the
but what the tax does, it eliminates the marginal firm from commerce, and it leaves fewer firms.
Okay, if you take it down the road,
those firms either go out of business or they move to a new state,
Carl,
or they move to a new
hell. A tax on me or you is always a bad idea. I get it. I could argue, but a tax on another guy is a good thing. I get that. But the thing that totally is left out of all the alleged geniuses on CNBC and all these other places, not one person has mentioned that if it is somewhat competitive and you put a tariff on the foreign guy, and say even the foreign guy eats half of it, it gives your guy here the avenue to raise his prices because now you've knocked out part of his competition. None of that is ever mentioned. And that's probably the single biggest part.
I found this really interesting. I think it was in Washington State or Idaho or somewhere out west, where the tariff on Chinese goods reduce the consumption of plastic trees and increase the consumption, the sales of natural trees.
Probably, so yeah.
People are switching.
Do you still have the
Christmas
you still have
tree?
The
I think a real nice fake Christmas tree was like $500, and then they were switching from the $500 tree because it went up to like $550 or something, and they switched to a natural tree. So those substitutions happen. And they can't be discounted.
No.
Yeah.
But I think you still have the old chrome tree with the little spotlight in the bottom with the four colors.
Yeah.
I could see you with one of those.
I have an 8-foot fake tree because I could put it in a box and reuse it every year.
I want you to tell me.
I purchase it once and then I have
actually, I want Carl to tell me how any of us survived when we had a regular tree that got dry as hell because nobody had a humidifier in those days. Yeah. And you use those lights on there that got so hot you couldn't touch them. And how everybody didn't die from that thing burning in your living room, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I think people probably filled up the little
I'm just saying, we would take the lights off, go in the alley and put a match to the tree and the thing would like explode. And how that bulb didn't set off one of those needles, I have no idea. Because it was a regular bulb. It was a 40-watt bulb. It was hot as hell.
My mom and dad always told me I got to fill the little stand with water.
That helped a little bit. But
well, it takes a while for a tree to... I mean, how long did you have that tree in your house? Like
a couple of weeks. But even so, I thought, you know, in those days, nobody had a humidifier in their house.
Tom, we were so poor when I was a kid. We're living in the middle of nowhere. We're living in suburban ghost town, Davytown in Nevada, northwestern Nevada. And we didn't have access to a plastic tree. There was no, I mean, the nearest town was like, actual town was like a gas station and a four-room school building called McDermott. They had no Christmas tree. So my mom walks out onto the desert of Nevada and cuts down a sagebrush tree. So that Christmas, we had a sagebrush tree as a Christmas tree. And that thing got dry, man.
God, I would. Anyway, Happy New Year, buddy. Hopefully, I get to see you this year. If I come your way,
oh, yeah,
I get to see Wayne. I get to see Andrew
in the classroom this semester.
Hey, good for you. Where? In where? Which we got like three universities.
At A&T, okay. Down in Greensboro.
All right. Yeah. Well, if I get that way, I'm going to come and say hello.
This semester, I'm teaching public finance and stats in person.
Hey, good for you. Yeah. All right, SP Futures down 3, NASDAQ Futures down 29. Hal, happy New Year, buddy, and I've enjoyed it. I've probably learned more this year. We did some of the stuff this year with the veterans and other stuff. I learned more this year than I ever have doing the show.
Yeah, that's the purpose of conversation, right?
Yep.
With people you don't agree with.
You guys are disagreeing is easy. Agreeing with you guys is the hard part. you know, watch somebody to agree with you. It's anyway, back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.